You're listening to FCUM Radio, radio for FC United of Manchester. And now, this club is my club.
FCUM Radio. FC and Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Cross it's a goal! It's the United's Paul Armstrong!
First time shot comes in.
Jay Cottrell with a screamer!
I don't believe it!
An absolute rocket from Cottrell!
In this with my club this week, we have all the reaction and interviews from Saturday's league match at York City.
Hi there, Billy McCartney, a former player, and always listen to FC Radio.
Hello, I'm your host Cockers and welcome to this week's This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. As well as the men's team, later in the show we'll also be hearing how the women's team fared in their crucial league match with Mosley Hill from Sunday afternoon. But before that, it's now time for this week's club news. And we start this week with an appeal as Toy Story returns this Saturday for the home match with Curzon Ashton. The club are asking all supporters to donate a toy which will be distributed to families and young people in need over the Christmas period. All types of toys are welcome: cuddly toys, jigsaws, games, educational toys and children's books. All we ask is that they are new or in an as new condition and are suitable for children of any age up to 16 years old. In other collection news, and this week's Big Coat Day will take place on the 5th of January for FC United's home match against Chester, but the club will also be collecting at all Saturday home games up to that date, including this weekend's match with Curzon. And finally, FC United late last week announced the loan signing of left-back Caleb Richards from Norwich City. Here's manager Neil Reynolds with more.
Great addition. You know, we've been chasing this one down all week. Obviously, we've had a gap since we lost Lewis Thompson back to Blackburn Rovers, and you know, we kind of tried to patch it up last week, but realised that we needed that out and out left back. And when we heard that there was a chance of, you know, availability of Caleb Richards, I jumped on it straight away. And you know, straight away, I kind of mentioned the word Norwich City. He said, "How's he going to travel from Norwich to FC?" You know, he is a local lad. His dad lives in Manchester. He played for Blackpool. He got his move in summer to Norwich, but you know, he's someone that we've kept an eye on. And, you know, thankfully, you know, for the professionalism and, you know, the opportunity from Norwich, we've been able to get him over the line. So he trained with the squad last night, fitting really well, and we're looking forward to getting him into the squad tomorrow.
You've got the system that you like to play. How's he adapted to that side of things?
Yeah, and that's the way we wanted to play. You know, I was very specific with the type of fullback that I wanted. I needed someone who was comfortable in, you know, in both halves, but more comfortable going forward, because, we, you know, obviously we like our fullbacks to go high and wide and get into the final third as much as possible. So that suited his game. And you know, we trained last night. We worked on our shape, and he fit in straight away. So, you know, tomorrow, hopefully, you know, he'll go straight in there and give a good account of himself.
And just before you go, Neil, just a little bit away from on the field, and you asked for something special in the tunnel at Broadhurst Park, and I just give you the opportunity to thank Graham Burton and Pete Shaw, because they've transformed the tunnel. They've not quite done what the Billericay owner, chairman, manager did in his dressing room, but the tunnel looks good now.
You know, something, it's one thing that I said, you know, as soon as I walked into the dressing room, I wanted the tunnel to be an area of one that can excite people, or two of intimidation as well. You know, this is our tunnel, this is our ground, you know, and I floated the idea with a few people, and I said, you know, I'd love to see the colours, I'd love to see the keywords on the left-hand side, I'd love to see how far the club's come, and on the right-hand side, I'd love to see, you know, pictures and celebrations of where the club has actually come from, of when they started. But the first part of it was to redesign the colour scheme. And you know, the guys have worked tremendously hard. I keep saying thank you. I can't pay the guys enough superlatives. You literally ask once and you know, you blink, and then the next thing, the job's done. And that's just, it's an amazing, it's just amazing for me to have people that work so hard. And, you know, that's phase one done. I know the phase two is, you know, it's kind of in operation. But again, it's just another thank you. The guys that work behind the scenes, they're just incredible. And, you know, like I turned up for training on Tuesday, it was done. And I was like, wow.
FC United manager Neil Reynolds speaking to Ben there on Friday evening. To the weekend's football now, and Renault's Reds travel to Bootham Crescent on Saturday to take on York City in the league. To hear how the Reds got on, it's over to FC Live.
So yes, hello everybody. The tannoy is a bit loud here at Bootham Crescent, and welcome to Bootham Crescent, the home of York City, and today the home of FC United's trip to York City in the National League North. I'm Ben. Statle Paul is with us.
Good afternoon.
And making a return, our Yorkshire correspondent Emily Maguire is here.
Good afternoon.
So, big team news heading into this game, and that's the signing of Caleb Richards, a loan signing from Norwich City. And we go back to last week. We kind of went with White at left back, and it didn't really work. Paul did it. And
it was a makeshift, wasn't it? And it was exploited by Hereford. So obviously Renault has this week decided to go out for a genuine left back, and he's managed to persuade Norwich to part with him for a period of time. I think it's 40 days, is it? Something like that.
Something like that.
So Richards played against us for Southport last season, one of his many outings for other clubs. But yeah, he's got a very good reputation, and obviously. The fact that he's involved with Norwich shows that he's an upward climber.
I mean, the only trouble with this is the fact that if he does really well, like Lewis Thompson did, then the club grabs him back, and that's the downside, unfortunately.
Risk with a loan, isn't it?
Exactly. But other than that, it's nearly the same team that played against Hereford, apart from Rowan Roach starts. Ryan White on the substitutes bench alongside Jack Bannister. We didn't really see much of Roach last week because
he didn't get much time, really.
No, he came in during the midway through the second half.
And the game was flowing against us then pretty badly. But Michael Potts is playing against one of his old clubs this afternoon. Of course, he was a winner of the FA Trophy with York some years back.
Oh, Michael Potts, he had a bit of a groin injury or groin issue in the week, but he's starting today perfectly fine now, as is Chris Lynch, who had a late fitness test last week. He appears all fine as well.
The only other thing I was going to mention, that Richards becomes the 42nd player to play for FC this season.
42nd?
42nd, and the record is 43 that was in the third season, 2007-08. So if you think about it, we've nearly gone through three matchday lineups, complete matchday lineups with substitutes this season.
I was going to say, I mean, one season I think you did class as an FC United first teamer, Emily, so are you interested in breaking that record this season?
Oh, you never know.
Emily might turn up on Boxing Day and get a game.
Well, I was just looking at the substitutes bench, and there's no fresh faces who we've not seen. Substitutes today: Sam Baird, Ryan White, Jack Bannister, Jamie Milligan, and Theo Brealey. Just to say, Theo Brealey, wasn't he out on loan somewhere? Wasn't he at Prestwich Hayes?
Yes, he went out, and he's obviously come back. But he did score in a game at Broadhurst, didn't he? One of his early games.
Yeah, I think he did. Yeah. I think he did. And for those wondering, what about the substitute goalkeeper? Well, we've just seen Sam Baird in net. So
that's fine.
So that's fine. obviously today as well, FC United are 3 points behind York City. And when we spoke to Neil last week about exiting the FA Trophy, he said I'd rather have got the if it was to lose one game against Hereford, it would have been in the FA Trophy. Those 3 points are really important. It's back to league matters now. We're out of the cups, barring the Manchester Premier. This is a very important game today, Emily.
Yeah, hugely important, like you say. You know, York City not that far ahead. They've had a fairly similar season in terms of results. Being from Yorkshire, I do expect York City to do better than what they are doing, having once been a league team. They've packed with some big guys in there. We've seen them warm up. It'll be a very tough game for FC. But like you say, there's a positive to take from being knocked out of cups, as much as everybody loves a cup run, supporters and players alike. It's nice to stay in the cup. It's nice to bring in some money as well, obviously. But I think Renault knows this is what he needs to concentrate on. He needs to concentrate on league form, getting some consistent results. You're not doing too badly away from home, but it's just getting that consistency back in the team.
And if I was to make a comparison between York, because I'm saying this because other people have told me, not that I've done my own research, but York are full-time,
yeah,
I believe. does strike me as a similar situation to Southport in the fact that they might be full time, but there's clearly problems, and if FC can exploit that this afternoon.
Yeah, they've gone five league games without a win. So, you know, they're not unbeatable. That's obvious from what we've seen already this season. And this is an opportunity for FC, especially with the away form we've had, like Emily mentioned.
And when we were last here, the crowd turned very quickly. And
after about half an hour.
It's similar to Hereford, isn't it, the league game?
I think it's another place like Hereford where the expectations are big because of the ex-league history. The York fans don't appreciate being in this division one bit, and they, when they turn up for these home games, they expect to win them all comfortably. When it doesn't happen, they voice their disapproval, so that's something for FC to think about.
Now it's interesting with the lineup for York City this afternoon. Their main target man, Parkin, is it Parkin?
John Parkin, John, yeah, he's Parkin. Out of favour now.
He's out of favour. Yeah. And Langstaff, who I think is their top goal scorer, if I'm wrong. Am I wrong in that?
That's right.
He's on the substitutes bench. So.
Yeah, so things are going on. I think that's reflected in probably the results they've had in recent weeks. Apart from the FA Trophy win last week, they've been on a poor run, so the manager's shaking things up, and it may be a good time to visit them, who knows.
Well, last week, York City beat Kidderminster in the FA Trophy, so... They're no mugs, but
having said that, Kidderminster won their 3-0 in the league, so there you go.
With regards to their starting 11, Paul, who are the ones to watch, do you think,
from the York side?
Yes,
well, from what I've heard, Burrow up front is a lively character. Moki, the Nigerian in midfield, will probably pull the strings.
Are we expecting as well, if the tide is gone the opposite way and not going the way of York, are we expecting someone to come on and take long throw-ins?
Well, it's possible. They've got they've also got Joe Ironside on the bench, who played against us previously for other clubs. And, you know, he's a prolific goal scorer. I think he's on loan from Darlington at the moment.
And obviously as well, this game is definitely going to be taking place. It's been raining all day and all week, really. There's all kinds of games being postponed. Spennymoor against Kidderminster was an early one. Southport against Leamington is also off today, as is Ashton United against Stockport. But the teams are now coming out onto the pitch. We'll give you those latest scores as we get them this afternoon. But it's now time to hand over to our expert commentary team. It's FC Live, brought to you by ConstructiveCody.com. And you lovely people, the Armchair Army, and you can get in touch with us this afternoon at FC UM Radio and on email station@fcmradio.co.uk. We'll also be perusing the Solis One forum, but as the teams are now shaking hands, it's now time to hand over to our expert commentary team for this afternoon's game. It's Stato Paul, Emily Maguire, but first, me. And here's Potts to Lynch, to Willoughby, to Samoes. Samoes turns on a sixpence there and gets the ball out to his right-hand side to Senior. Senior a ball down the line. But again, it's like a spring, isn't it? It's like a coil, what FC United do when they get the ball. Here's Samoes now to Senior. The pass isn't the best back from Samoes, but Senior does well and gets it to Willoughby. Willoughby could turn. Willoughby gets it to Senior. He's on the overlap. Senior now looking to get it to the byline. Crosses the ball in. It's tricky to deal with for Bartlett. But good goalkeeping from York's number one.
He had to hold on to that. It kind of skimmed up into his hands, and you know, there's plenty of blue shirts around to pounce. But
well, Bartlett looking to launch, and that's a beast of a clearance, isn't it? High in the air, the ball goes. Burrow doesn't get to it, but the ball's going to break to the number 10. Alexis saves it, and route one stuff there from York City. And the goal was scored by Alex Harris, and for once, Burrow wasn't actually he didn't win the flick on at all, did he?
He
just missed it.
Out of place. He missed it. The bounce fell fortunately for York. I thought Allinson did absolutely fantastic saving the first one. But
you're gonna Neil Reynolds is gonna be sick as a dog, isn't he, after that? That's
It is. It's a hard one to take, you know, that is just absolutely route one. High in the air from the keeper. Very disappointing, especially how well FC have applied themselves to this game.
35 minutes on the clock here. York have gone 1-0 up. But Paul, tell us the possession for FC United.
It's 71% at the moment.
Ridiculous.
It's four goal attempts on target to three. FC have had far more of the game, but find themselves a goal down.
I know, like we said, it was such a beast of a clearance from the York goalkeeper. And well, there you go. Corner to York. 6 minutes left to play. It's going to be Griffiths to take it from the left-hand side. It's going to be an in-swing on his right foot. In it comes. It's a dangerous ball, that. And, appeals for a penalty. And the referee's given it. The referee's given a penalty. A push in the back there on Digi as he was rising for that ball. Interesting to see it back in replay, but...
Who do you think the guilty party was?
I wouldn't like to say. There was a lot of bodies there, but it's a penalty to York, and if they score this, I think that's probably it, isn't it? And it's Lynch.
It's Lynch. Lynch has been booked for that.
Well, Allinson, of course, saved his last penalty in the Manchester Premier Cup against Mosley. But you do feel if York score this, that's probably good night from Brevin Crescent. Got 5 minutes left to play. It's Burrow to take this. What can he do? He steps up, slots it to the right-hand side of Allinson. 2-0, 5 minutes left to play, and it's a long goal back here, isn't it, Emily?
Yeah, it certainly is. And I think, you know, this second half, it set up differently to the first. And, you know, we weren't able to capitalise with the possession that we had and how well we played in that first half. York City came out and seemed to just press a little bit higher up the field, injected a lot more pace in the right areas, and FC haven't really done enough in this second half for me. They've had spells and moments, but it's not been consistent like it was in the first half. The first half, they just looked so fluid, working together. Now they've seemed to have struggled to find the forwards, and it's a very difficult position to be in now.
And that is full time here at Brevin Crescent, and a goal in the first half, a penalty towards the end of the second half, has seen all the points head the way of the home side. 2-0 the score, and I don't want to say we were robbed, but in the first half we dominated possession. Their goalkeeper's man of the match. He's made a couple of great saves in the second half as well. What do you reckon, Emily?
To say robbed in the first half, definitely, because I mean they had absolutely nothing. Nothing came from York. It was a long ball that got them the goal, and it was a bit of luck. The FC just aren't getting it. The first half performance from FC United was absolutely brilliant. You know, the way that they were moving and playing together, how structured they were, and the support play. Some of the possession, some of the moves that Simo's created, you know, it was really, really good to watch, but we didn't really replicate that enough in the second half. And the difference was that York City were able to inject the pace when they needed it. You know, they played a lot like an away team, soaking up a lot of pressure, but forcing FC United to take the chances from outside the box, difficult opportunities, and then when they could hit us on their break, and they had a lot of fast players within there. It is disappointing because FC deserve something from the match. But the chances that they created in the second half weren't good enough.
That said, there was a glorious opportunity to get back into it. A great header from O'Halloran.
It's from a corner comes in, and what I was meaning, you know, we didn't create enough through open play. But I think if Bartlett hadn't made it, such an incredible save, it would have been a totally different story. I think that's what we needed. You know, something like that to get us back in on level terms, and then go on from there. But all that did was just boost York City's confidence. You know, Bartlett made a few fantastic saves throughout the whole game, and that breeds confidence into the rest of your team. And like I say, they have two very strong centre-halves. I think Digi, he played a great game. He kept Piers quiet, he kept Willoughby quiet in that second half, and reduced the opportunities that FC had.
What was the possession stats in the end, Paul? Because York did come much more into it in the second half.
Still 70%.
And there was 500 completed passes. Have we crossed that threshold in the game?
536.
To be precise.
It's a disappointing result, and based on, you know, when you can base it a lot on possession, but it's what you do with it. And in the first half, we were creating opportunities. We just weren't fortunate enough to get the breaks that we needed. But in the second half, I just didn't feel like we did. We got the opportunity that O'Halloran forced a fantastic save, but that came from a corner. We had two really well placed free kicks, but we hit the wall twice. And so those things are disappointing. We were getting the ball to our wide players, Senior, and then Richards in the second half came more into it. But the delivery that they had just wasn't what we needed. They held on to it for me. They just seemed to hold on to it one too many seconds instead of just whipping the ball into the box for our oncoming attacking play. And it's those things, you know, where decision making in those final thirds, I think, is where FC need to improve. We've seen the defence been really well organised. Playing it out at defence today, Potts was absolutely brilliant in front of them. Really creative in that first half, and then continued into the second. But it just wasn't enough in the final third. You know, we've got the play and the build up all the way up the pitch and from the defence to the midfield, and it's just finding that link up for our attacking players.
I mean, as I see United come off the pitch now, and they must, Renault and the team must feel like sick as dogs, mustn't they? I mean,
you can see in the body language that they've put everything into the game and they deserved something from it. They were by far the better side. And overall, if we look at the whole game overall, they were, but we just didn't really take out the opportunity. The first half, with the opportunities that we had, we were a bit too forcing the ball straight down the middle. You know, Bartlett had a few saves to make, but they just came straight to him in the middle of the goal, and it's those sort of things that just need to work on, getting the angles and hitting the runners. You know, the first half I was wanting Senior to just push up a little bit more, get in behind the defence, because York City were there for the taking in that first
what
half
time, John?
They had gave a lot of space and a lot of time for FC in possession, but yeah, it's disappointing, and there'll be a lot for the manager to reflect on as well. And you know, as everybody does, as fans, as players, you reflect on it and you think ifs, buts, maybes, you know.
I mean, if I can go back to last week at Hereford, we were in the ascendancy against Hereford.
Again in the first half.
And the game changed somewhat at half-time when the substitution was made. It was O'Sullivan who came on. And he changed the game. I think what made FC United, because we were in the ascendancy in that first half, I think what made York a lot more comfortable in the second half was the use of Moki a lot more. And he was the first half he was like a defensive midfielder. In the second half he was all over the place. He was such an attacking threat. And
I think they put another striker on at the start of the second half, and that changed it a bit as well. I think they went more into a style of where they kept the ball more, rather than just throw it at the sole striker. And then when they did play it long, the striker had somebody to play off, and that made a difference. They sacrificed the left back and changed it around. If we'd been outplayed for 90 minutes, you would have walked away and said fair dues. But for all that possession we had and the chances we created, it's like you go home and it's like having a Kit Kat without any fingers.
What, to eat? Or you mean actual fingers on the Kit Kat?
Like the end product. Both. The end products of no goals.
Isn't that essentially what a Kit Kat chunky is?
Yes.
It's a Kit Kat without the fingers.
Yeah, well, we've not even got the chunky.
No, we haven't. Anyway, that's the thing we took from Hereford as well. It's the not taking your chances.
Yeah, at half-time, we should have been again in a stronger position than 1-0. And we were pegged back by tactical changes in the second half and ended up being well beaten on the day. And today, at half-time again, it could have been 2-0, 3-0 maybe, if we'd taken the right chances. Credit the goalkeeper as well. But when you've got all that possession and all that territorial advantage, you can't waste it. Because I think generally in 90 minutes, there are going to be times when you're not dominant. And when you are dominant, you've got to cash in. And that's pretty much what York ended up doing. They upped the ante a bit. I mean, they were very lucky to go in at half-time with the lead.
Let's talk about the first goal. because the first goal's ridiculous, isn't it?
Route one.
It's we said in the build up we were talking generously about the fact that they're quick in the transition. I think is the polite way of saying it's direct, and we saw that we had so much possession, so much of the best chances, creating so much of the best play,
and defended well when we had to.
Yeah, and this is the thing, and we didn't defend badly in that either. Mm. Burrow went up for it, and he misjudged the ball. He was meant to win that ball, and he didn't get anywhere near it. And in the end, York benefited from that. It broke to Harris, and it was proper old school route one, and that was the difference between the two sides at our time. And
I think it was a lucky break of the ball.
It was such a lucky. It was lucky. I mean, someone got in touch on the forum, I think it was, saying there was a foul in the build-up. We couldn't see it from where we were, so we can't really judge. But they went in at half-time. And I wouldn't blame FC United under the circumstances if they did feel deflated and that did knock the wind out of
it
sails.
It does. When you are dominant and there's a goal against the run of play like that, it does damage you. And, you know, at half-time, obviously the manager's saying, well, forget the goal. You've been the dominant force. Go out and do it again. But sometimes it just doesn't work like that. And I think the longer the game went on, I think that save from the old Halloran header with about 20 minutes to go.
That was the end of it then, wasn't it?
I think collectively they thought to themselves, we're not going to get anything out of this. If that's the kind of save that's going to keep us out, then it's not our day.
And we are going to be joined by Neil Reynolds. Neil, the first half there, we played some of the best football I think we can safely say that we've seen
for a long time.
They go route one, and I think Burrow, you could say, made a mistake in not reading the flight of the ball the way he wanted to, and they benefit, and it was the jammiest goal you must feel sick as a dog at half time.
Struggling to put that one into words. I'm absolutely struggling. That is the best performance I have seen, not just while I'm at FC United in the last how many years I've been a manager now. That is as good. That first half performance is as good as what I've seen. The football, the rotation, the movement, the confidence, and we come in half time 1-0. We're getting beat 1-0, and then they tweak a few things, and we can't get our A game going second half. But still, thinking we're creating chances. I mean, the keeper's got man the match.
Yeah.
You know, speaks for itself.
That is so hard to take, and I've just said to the lads in there, that is so hard to swallow.
70% possession. Simo's having a ball all the way through that with Willoughby, the fullback bombing on. It was glorious stuff. It really was. And a bit like Hereford last week, they did change it, and the manager's bound to, isn't he, given what the first half he's seen there from his side. But you didn't see the reaction you got last week against Hereford. It was more an arm wrestle. There wasn't a drop in performance. York just came back into it. Mm. And we've just dissected the game there.
I mean, we felt that save from O'Halloran.
Yes,
that was like a watershed moment. I think collectively it looked like our players thought to themselves, well, we're just not going to score today. You know,
these aren't excuses. Their manager's put his arm around me and said, you've got an amazing team. He said, you're an amazing team, but we're third from bottom again.
Yeah.
You know, we're an amazing team with the football we're playing. I mean, you had to be here today to see it. You know, I don't think we had more than two touches on the ball in the first half, and we went from back to front as quick as I've seen a ball football travel, but on the floor. And then the final thirds, chance, and you know, we didn't take it. We come in 1-0 at half time, and we didn't even contemplate defeat. We didn't as a group. They were angry, they were hurt, they were gutted. We were all on our feet. Nobody contemplated defeat. You know, and as I said there, it's literally silent in that dressing room, because we cannot work out how we've lost again. Football, we're now 6 points behind York. Hereford have won today. We drop into the bottom three. But
you wanted a reaction from last week, and I think you got one. Certainly in the first 45 minutes, and like we said there, if the chances went our way in that second half, we could have quite easily got back into the game. The penalty kills it at the end anyway. But you got the response you wanted. I mean, where do you go from here after this? Because you had some. This is the problem I've got as the interviewing you. I don't actually know what to ask you, because I think we both agree. And you know, last week you could say, "Oh, we need to bounce. I want a reaction." What kind of reaction do you want after that?
So last week was difficult because we didn't perform second half. Today, you know, and FC United fans will listen, you know, to the radio interview, and they were here, and I think the reason why they were still singing and clapping because I think they thought they won. you know, I think we've won. I don't know how we've got beat 2-0. Where do we go from here? We come in Tuesday night. We work hard. We come in Thursday. We keep the spirits high. We keep the camaraderie high. And we get ready for Curzon next Saturday. And I'll say it before anyone else says it. We haven't won a league game at home yet. But if we keep playing like that, and we have done out of the 8 out of the 9 games I've been here, you know, apart even the Telford game when we got beat, apart from the second half last week, we've been playing consistently well. And it's only a matter of time. The formation's working, the shape's working, the chances are coming. And it's only a matter of time, you know. And yes, I'm absolutely devastated. I'm gutted, and I can't begin to dissect that. And I'm not sure how I'm going to dissect it. But we'll win next Saturday. I am telling you now, and whether or not this is a kick up the backside for anyone who's listening to it, if the opposition, we will win next Saturday. And that I'm going to make that now. I'm going to say it, as arrogant as that sounds. This has got to turn around. This performance level has to warrant wins. Because if I was watching that team first half, well, I am the manager now, and I'm delighted with what I've seen. Second half, you know, they changed it, and but still I thought we were going to score, and I don't know how we haven't.
Now, if I could just talk about some performances, Roach obviously came on as a substitute. The game was going away from the team last week, so it's difficult to judge. He was very much involved in that first half display with Samoes and Willoughby and Piers. Happy with what you saw from him?
Delighted. He's just tired, you know. That's his second game at his level. He hasn't played a lot of football at Blackpool, and it's different when you play youth team football to playing, you know, this standard of football. He's just tired. You know, I'm delighted with his contribution. So, you know, he'll get a chance to go again.
And speaking of people tired, and for obvious reasons, Richard was... He slotted in, mm-hmm. right? And we were discussing last night how, you know, he's going to be able to slot into this system. He did it really well. But it's that step up, isn't it? Yeah. And we saw that from Thompson when he first joined.
Yeah. Same situation.
First half, superb. Then started to fade during the second half. He's going to be great, isn't he?
He's fantastic. I mean, the amount of times he picked the ball up in the final third in the first half, he must have had, I'm not sure, I bet he had 100 touches first half. You know, he had that much ball, and he was cutting his side, he was getting his deliveries, he was getting his corners, and he'll slot in. But, you know, difficult situation second half, he probably didn't get as much ball, we didn't get it out to him, but he will. You know, he'll get better, and hopefully we'll see his performances improve while he's here.
And finally, if we were talking about a star performance from FC United, I think we're going to have to go with Potts, to be honest with you. It's kind of been lost in the wash, but Potts had a great first half, and we didn't see that last week, but he was playing with an injury, wasn't he? So, and so that was much more like it.
100% agree. You know, I've just gone into a dressing room and I've said exactly the same thing. You know, the key character that didn't stop performing for 90 minutes was Potts, in my opinion. And, you know, last week I was critical. Today, you know, I'm a little bit critical because of the younger lads. Again, when it got worked out of the park, they've got to change the game, and they know how to change the game. It's just been brave. It's been brave to be brave to make a mistake by changing certain things on the pitch. And, you know, credit to York, you know, they got the 3 points. Potsy was outstanding. But as with the all first half, you know, I'm going to take that away. And I'm going to, you know, just give them a pat on the back for the first half performance. And if they manage to replicate that game in, game out, and the levels of performance mature, and we start taking our chances, I'm not sure where we can end up. And I'm not saying that, you know, it's only December the 1st. You know, there's lots of football to be played between now and the end of the season. And I can't be happier than that first half performance. And studying now, I've just no idea how we haven't won the game.
Well, Neil, like we said, we're not just saying this, that was one of the best performances
we've seen. It was a joy to watch. It was just lacking end product, wasn't it? That's the only thing.
So, chin up. thank you for joining us. Have a good week in training, and let's move on to Curzon now.
Next Saturday, can't come quick enough, but thank you.
FC United manager Neil Reynolds there following his side's 2-0 defeat at York on Saturday afternoon. FC will be looking to bounce back in the league this weekend as the Reds host Curzon Ashton at Broadhurst Park. Kick-off on Saturday will be at 3 p.m, but as always, if you cannot make this match in person, then have no fear, the FC Live team are here. They'll be going to air live from North Manchester from 2:30 p.m. on www.fc-radio.co.uk. FC United are calling on all supporters to get involved in the BP Boost, a development fund initiative set up to help raise much needed funds to assist the club in clearing its outstanding debts. BP Boost has been established to encourage all supporters to try and raise £20 a month any way they can. So if you'd like to get involved in the BP Boost, please email vinny.tom. thompson at fc-utd.net for your fundraising pack, leaving your name and address. Make no mistake, every penny counts. So join the BP Boost Drive today. Thank you. The women's team now, and it was back to Broadhurst Park for Luke Podmore's side on Sunday afternoon as FC United hosted Mosley Hill Ladies. To find out how the Reds got on, it's over to Ben and Paul.
Hello everybody and welcome to Broadhurst Park. You join us here on a Sunday afternoon. It's very much the afternoon after the afternoon before women's team action, and hopefully we'll have a better outcome than we did yesterday up at York. Today at Broadhurst Park, it's FC United taking on Mosley Hill Athletic. It's third against fifth. FC United just sitting 4 points behind Mosley Hill Athletic with four games in hand. Paul is with me as always.
Good afternoon.
And it's an important game this, Paul. Like we said, there loads of games in hand, but we need to start clawing the games back, getting up the table before the new year.
Yeah, interestingly, the Mosley Hill side is very much the Wigan side of last season. They've transplanted so many players and the manager across. So we know we're in for a difficult game. Having said that, Sir Tom Finney at bottom of the table, and the opening game of the season, Mosley beat them 9-2 at home. Last Sunday, they went for the return fixture at Tom Finney and only drew one apiece to the
right.
bottom side.
Okie dokie.
So a bit of an upset for them. So they'll be keen to bounce back from a disappointing result.
And speaking of bouncing back from disappointing results, FC United, after last week, it was a slog, a battle up at Accrington. I mean, this afternoon, we're in the main stadium at Broadhurst Park. It's nice to be have wind and rain blowing in your face. It's going to be a different occasion to what we faced last week.
Yeah, a much superior playing surface to Accrington, with all due respect. And again, we talk about the Broadhurst factor once more. Whether Mosley Hill will adapt quickly to playing in the stadium, I don't know how many times they've done it, but it's a big test for any visiting side to come and play in this stadium.
Here's Carrington now. Carrington moving forward towards the halfway line. She goes, plays a long ball over the top there. That's going to get to Battle. Battle rounds the keeper. The angle's tight. Into the bottom corner on the other side. A fine finish there from Jess Battle. What a ball though from Abby Carrington. On 9 minutes, FC United take the lead, Paul.
Well, the ball itself was interesting because I think the defence were watching Kirsty Chambers, but the ball went deeper than that, beyond her. And Battle had the nous and the intelligence to run further. She managed to put it beyond the keeper, and the angle was narrow, to say the least, but somehow she managed to squeeze it in at the far post, and FC get the lead on 10 minutes.
And here is Davis now for FC. Davis plays it to Greenall. Greenall towards the halfway line she goes, finds Fields, who treks back into FC United's half, square to Foster, back to Greenall. Greenall to O'Gara, back to Foster. Lovely series of passes there from FC United. Nice ball there by Foster to find Chambers. Battle on the back post, and that is a stunning goal, an absolutely stunning goal from FC United on 40 minutes. And I've used this phrase before, Paul, but we did open them up there like a tin of rice pudding.
Well, that's a rarity in this first half, where we've actually strung a beautiful move from midfield from back to front. And it's the old pairing of Kirsty Chambers squaring it for Battle to score.
Oh, that was only the finish. That was the savouring of the rice pudding on the spoon, Paul. What happened in midfield? That was when you get the tin opener out. It was brilliant, wasn't it?
It was a brilliant exchange of passes in midfield. And then the killer ball that cut out the fullback for Kirsty to set the goal up on a plate.
And I think I'm safe in saying this. I think that might be up there in the top five goals of the season for both men's and women's team. As we come up to 45 minutes played here at Broadhurst Park. Ainsworth with this free kick to Davis, back to Ainsworth. Ainsworth clears it, long, one bounce, that's going to get to Chambers. It's well defended though by the fullback, but the ball breaks to Battle. Battle now turns, through ball to Chambers, who's onside. Chambers now shoots into the bottom corner, and dead on half time. FC United have probably put this game to bed. It's 3-0, Paul.
Well, Jess Battle returned the compliment there. Chambers finishes. It was a,
a low shot through the keeper, and it was very, very coolly executed. And as you said, 3-0 close to the half-time whistle. That is a real damaging blow for Mosley.
Loughlin back to the goalkeeper. And down the line, but cut out there by Cara Fields. Fields to Chambers. Chambers with a dink there to try and find Battle. Good turn for Battle. And Chambers gets the ball back on the left-hand side of the box. Into the box it goes to O'Gara. She wins it back. So slots it to the goalkeeper's right. And just when you thought O'Gara had fluffed her lines, got the ball back and comfortably settled it home in the end. And 7 minutes on the clock into the second half, 4-0. Back it goes though to Ainsworth. Ainsworth plays the ball to Marsh. To Foster. Foster over the halfway line, the ball goes. Here's O'Gara now. O'Gara turns and finds a through ball there to find Battle. Is she going to round the keeper again? She does. The angle is super tight, but she's got loads of time to pretty much walk it to the net. And she does. And with 16 minutes gone in this second half, Jess Battle makes it 5.
And wraps up yet another hat-trick.
Is that two a game then? Now we're nearly at two a game.
Well,
she needed 96, didn't she? I think.
what today? It's 48 games and now 92 goals.
Full time here at Broadhurst Park, and a very, very accomplished performance from FC United. The goal scoring started on 9 minutes when Jess Battle rounded the keeper. An hour later, or so, Jess Battle rounded the keeper again to score a hat trick. We've had goals as well, just on the stroke of half-time for Kirsty Chambers. Kate O'Gara rounded off a player of the match performance by scoring just on 50 minutes or so. And 5-0, Paul, against a team who, before this, were ahead of us in the league table, having played a few games more. And we've taken them to task, haven't we?
Yeah, this was the side with the best goal difference before the kick-off in the division. And they'd only lost one game at Stockport, and they've been blitzed here at Broadhurst. They've been very game. They've tried very, very hard, and they deserve a clap for the efforts. But I think they've been a well-beaten side this afternoon.
Well, the thing is the fact that throughout the first half, it was 1-0 for a long time.
I think it was those two goals towards the end of the first half.
It's 40 minutes and on half-time where Battle and Chambers... I mean, one of the goals, we have to say, I can't remember which one it was. It was the battle one, the 40-minute one.
The move.
Yeah, the move in midfield, where there was about five players involved in it to find the ball to Chambers, who crossed it into the back post to Battle. It was a glorious goal. Wait for the highlights on Neil Boo One on YouTube. A great, great goal, that one.
One of the best team goals you'll see this season.
And that, I think, put Mosley Hill to one side, because they showed their class throughout that first half. They were pressing us without creating too many chances, and that when you can see the goal like that, you just have to hold your hands up and go, well, that's that, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think the second half, we got the fourth fairly quickly, and Jess Battle completed a hat-trick, and after that it was a case of FC in probably third gear or less. Seen out the game, and we grabbed a fifth, but it didn't really matter.
Isn't it interesting as well? We were talking after the Stockport County game a while ago, in fact, and the Chester Street game, and we were saying, do we need to change it? Luke Podmore has this setup that he likes to play a certain way. Do we need to change it, given the fact we've gone a step up this season in the women's game pyramid? He has changed it today, incidentally. He's played four at the back.
Yeah,
and he's changed it during the game as well. We've gone back to a three. We've mixed and matched, and I think now with the substitutes bench we've got heading into the new year, this is obviously the last home game of 2018. It bodes very well, a performance like that, and with the personnel we've got.
I think when we play the sides in the division above this, I think we are exposed a bit in terms of our capabilities, which is understandable, and also possibly you can include Stockport County in that, who are unbeaten in our 100% record in our division. They proved to be very, very formidable on the day, and we didn't really have any answers to them. But over and above those examples, I think it looks like we can beat most of the other sides in this division, and that puts us in a very threatening kind of place towards the end of the season. If we can keep sustaining these wins, and we go to places like Tranmere, Mosley Hill on Merseyside, and come away with points. Fleetwood next week is another good example, another challenging game. If we keep winning these games and picking off these sides one by one, home and away, we're gonna start pressing Stockport County, who obviously are off to a flyer.
Well, it'd be interesting to see how Stockport County react, actually, because they've been in the Women's FA Cup today and they've been in their first defeat of the season inflicted upon them against Middlesbrough. Only 1-0, though. That goes to show
that's
the quality they've got.
Loss.
Very respectable.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see how they bounce back in the league next week when they play. But for FC United, it's Fleetwood Town Wrens away. The address for the ground is Poolfoot Farm Sports and Leisure Complex in Thornton on the Fylde Coast. 2 o'clock kickoff next week. Hopefully, we'll be covering it live, depending on the weather, really. I'm not going to take your 20% rain thing.
Well,
proof of it's not going to rain.
Because Fleetwood next week is a tough game. The game after that, Manchester Stingers, is a very winnable game, we think. And that's going to be a very interesting game between two Manchester teams.
Absolutely.
Which is rare in this division.
We should highlight that Manchester Stingers game, because Manchester Stingers obviously do a lot for the women's game in Greater Manchester. And that match takes place at Wally Range AFC on King's Road in Wally Range, obviously. And get down to that one on the 16th. That'll be the last women's game of 2018. So two away matches to follow this 5-0 victory here at Broadhurst Park. So really, it's been great. I mean, standout performances. We gave player of the match to Kate O'Gara. We've got to mention Jess McCarrick, who like we said, she's the women's team's Phil Neville, but with a better step over.
Yeah.
And we've obviously, Chambers battle with a hat-trick. Foster pulling the strings in midfield. Davis as well.
Yeah.
Had a very understated game, I think.
Yeah.
But yes. So onwards and upwards for the women's team. We'll be back next week with another doubleheader. Kers and Ashton for the men's team on Saturday. And then on Sunday, it's to the Fylde Coast for Fleetwood Town Wrens away for the women's team. But thank you, Statsall Paul. 5-0 winners against Mosley Hill Athletic Ladies. And we'll see you all very soon. Have a lovely Sunday. Bye-bye.
I'm here with head coach Luke Podmore and amazing goalkeeper Chloe Ainsworth, who showed her stuff today. We kept a clean sheet. We won 5-0. It's exactly what the doctor ordered there, Luke.
Yeah, nice to be back at home on our home turf. The girls put a great performance in. I think carried a few memories from last time we played a lot of these players from the Wigan game in the FA Cup last year. So you could really see the energy that they had. You could see the determination they had today to go out and win the game. And we need to think about goal difference as well. And to come away with 5 goals and on the other end was a fantastic afternoon for us.
Yeah, exactly, because most of this team is sort of like the Wigan team that we played last year, not the Wigan team we played 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But they didn't really show much, but they did give you something to do there, Chloe.
Yeah, it's all about when I'm called on, being there and being able to have an impact on the game, whether that's just passing the ball out or whether that's coming out, making a catch and distributing the ball. It's important for me to stay alert and stay awake for the team. They're doing the stuff up the other end, scoring the goals. I've got to make sure I'm there keeping them out as well.
Yeah, which you did very well. A couple of close room ones where you dived in and saved the ball, but notoriously, obviously, for the ones who were here watching it, the jump up and save, I presume Mark will be pleased, because you work on stuff like that.
Yeah, we do a lot of work on a lot of different things, and it's one of the areas we've been working on is coming out, claiming a ball when it's high and getting some pressure off the defence. So I think we've been doing a lot of training with that, and you can see it's been positive for us. We've been working on it. It's been great. We can input it in the game, and it's just made things a little bit easier on the defence. They're not having to worry so much about that ball coming into the box because we can deal with it.
Yes, excellent. And most things were dealt with today, Luke, with the defence and attack pretty much clicking very nicely.
Yeah, we went through a couple of formations today. We tweaked it a little bit halfway through, and the team just showing how adaptable they are again. The first goal started, as Chloe said, from the back, from the goal kick, come out to the side, all the way up to the top of the pitch and score a goal. There were some fantastic team goals today, and obviously I think the way Jess took her first goal was unbelievable as well. So yeah, we're doing well at both ends and in the middle as well, so it all bodes well for next week. We're off to Fleetwood, and then obviously we've got Stingers before the little Christmas break, so we're hoping we can pick up maximum points before we break up.
Yeah, I was quite near the radio commentary team as the match started, and he said he'd named every single player in the first 60 seconds. It just shows what a squad team game they are that we play.
Yeah, I say it to him every week. I said whether you're starting, whether you're on the bench, whether you're anything, the game's going to be won by 16 players. It's not just won by the 11 that's on the pitch or one player who scores that goal. It's everybody involved, and that's the real feeling in the camp at the moment. We're doing everything together, and everyone contributes, no matter how little or how big they think it is. It has a massive impact on the outcome of the game.
Yes, absolutely. lovely. So hopefully some of those fans can be there next week when we travel up. Is it the same ground that we played Fleetwood previously?
I think it's the Fleetwood training ground. I think it's Poole Farm or something like it's called. So we'll get all the details out on social media, but it's the men's training ground. So it should be a nice surface and be a good day for us.
That's good. Hope it's as good as the surface and the result that we got today up at Broaders Park. Thanks very much.
Cheers, Neil.
Neil Boo there speaking to Luke Podmore and keeper Chloe Ainsworth following his side's 5-0 win over Mosley Hill on Sunday afternoon. And on that positive note, that's it for this week's This Club Is My Club. You can hear this show on Mondays and Tuesdays at 12:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. on www.fc-radio.co.uk and on North Manchester FM every Monday evening at 9:05 p.m. on 106.6 FM. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store, and all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUM Radio. Thanks to everyone involved in FCUM Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.
This is FCUM Radio, officially the most popular FC United radio station in the world.